بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, continuing with the tafsir of what was recited in the Taraweeh Salah. Last night we heard the 22nd juz, and towards the end of the 21st juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a conversation that had taken place between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his Azwaj Mutahharat radiyallahu ta'ala anhun. As the Muslims began to conquer different lands and defeat different armies, we find that there was a great amount of mali ghanimat, spoils of war, that had come into Medina Munawwara. There was now some type of prosperity that they were enjoying in Medina Munawwara. And therefore the noble wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come to him, and they asked that if possible, could you increase our stipend, our allowance that you give us as your wives, or at least give us the entire amount in advance, give it to us for the entire year. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then receives wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he goes to Aisha radiallahu anha. He says to her, inni dhakirun laki amra, that I'm going to mention something to you. I'm going to give you a choice to make, and don't be hasty in making your decision, but go and consult your parents, ask their opinion, and thereafter you come back to me, and you make your decision. So she asks that, O Nabi of Allah, what is the choice that I have? So then he explains to her that, إِن كُنْتُنَّ تُرِدْنَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا, that if you desire the worldly life and the things of this world, then fata'alayna, then no problem, come to me. Umatti'kunna, I will give you mut'a. And mut'a, according to the technical definition of the fuqaha, refers to some set of garment or some gift that a husband gives to his wife when there is a separation or divorce that takes place. So I will give you this mut'a. Wa usarrihkunna sarahan jamila, and I will then release you from my marriage in a beautiful way, in a nice way, so you can have what you want of this dunya, but you will no longer be able to remain in my nikah, in my marriage. وَإِن كُنْتُنَّ تُرِدْنَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَالدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ, on the other hand, if you desire Allah and His Rasul and the hereafter, then remember Allah has prepared a very great reward for those who do good from amongst you. So he puts this forward to her, and look at the reply of Aisha radiallahu anha. She says that, O Nabi of Allah, is this something for me to delay and to go and ask my parents? And then she mentions also later on that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam knew very well that if I had to go and ask my parents, if I had to take their mashwara, their consultation, of course they would not have told me to leave him, to separate from him. But nevertheless she says to him that this is not a matter for me to go and ask my parents, consult with them. I know what I want to do, and I definitely desire Allah and His Rasul. Like this, she chose to remain in the nikah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter he then went to each one of his noble azwaj, and he posed the very same question to them, and each one of them in turn gave the very same answer, that we are prepared to forego the things of this world as long as we can remain in your nikah. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses primarily the azwaj of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, but together with this, every other believing woman, and seven different commands or advices have been given to them, which encapsulates the life of a mu'mina, muslima, of a believing woman in this world. How should she conduct herself? What should her mindset be? What should her goals and objectives be in this world? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Ya Nisa al-Nabi, addressing the wives of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that you are not any ordinary type of woman. Rather, you are very noble. You are honored to be the wives of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, to have iman. Init taqaytunna, if you have the consciousness of Allah, then the first advice, fala takhda'na bil qawl, do not speak in a soft tone, or rather do not speak in an alluring tone, in a seductive tone. فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٍ, because this could result in that person in whose heart there is a sickness. He may now become desirous of getting closer to you, of having some sort of interaction with you. وَقُلْنَا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا, but rather if you have to speak to the opposite gender, then say that which is correct. In other words, speak according to necessity and do not go beyond this. And here Mufassirin have explained that one is for a woman to speak in a seductive voice, a seductive tone, this is something very far-fetched and something that is never going to be expected from the Azwaj Mutahharat. But rather what Allah is prohibiting them from is, do not even speak in your normal tone, your normal voice. But if you have to speak to the opposite gender, then try your best to conceal, to mask your voice, or to make your voice sound as unappealing as possible, so that you protect yourself and you protect the other person. Now if this is being said to the wives of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and any sane believer is not going to have desire for the wife of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he would respect them, he realizes they are the ummahatul mu'mineen. But we can imagine what the command would be to the remaining believing woman, that how should they conduct themselves as far as their speech is concerned with the opposite gender. Many a times, unfortunately, we fall short when it comes to this. A woman may be in hijab, in parda, alhamdulillah, her dressing may be correct, but she feels that this now is a license for me to interact with the opposite gender, to speak to the shopkeeper, or to speak to some male on the phone, without any barrier, without any concern. So this is something very important, and the first advice that is given to them. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ, that cling to your homes. وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى, and do not expose yourself as used to be done in the period of the former period of ignorance. In other words, prior to Islam, the way the women would conduct themselves, where they would have no haya, no modesty, as far as their dressing was concerned, as far as them emerging from their homes was concerned, and them being in the public domain was concerned. So do not behave like this. Islam has come to eradicate jahiliyyah and to eradicate ignorance. So now do not expose yourself, do not show your beauty to the opposite gender. So these are the first three commands, that do not speak in a seductive or in a sweet tone, and then cling to your homes. And if you do emerge, you have to emerge for some necessity, then do not expose your beauty, do not show your beauty to the opposite gender. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَقِمْنَا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتِينَا الزَّكَاةَ, establish salah, give zakah, وَأَطِعْنَا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, and obey Allah and His Messenger. Here Mufassirin have explained, we can imagine the importance of haya and modesty for a believing woman, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought these commands even before the command of salah. Generally we would think that salah being fard and being such an important obligation, this would have been mentioned first. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to drive home the point that a woman is made through her modesty, through her haya, through her concealment. Ulama explain, when a woman has haya, when she has modesty, and when she conducts herself in this manner, then what she will produce will be beyond imagination. Although she does not come in the public domain, she is a nameless entity as far as society is concerned. Her name is not put up on the board, on the poster, nobody knows who she is, but what she will produce from her home, her children, and the support she will give to her husband in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this cannot be achieved by anybody else. So this is the role that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for the woman of this ummah. And then Allah explains the reason for these commands, that إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ, Allah wishes to purify you completely, O household of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. يُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا, in other words, by following these commands, you will be cleansed and purified totally and completely. And then the seventh command comes, وَذْكُرْنَ مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, and recite those verses that are recited in your homes. In other words, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was in the home, then many a times wahi would come. So those verses that are recited in your homes, you must now recite them. In other words, make tilawat of the Quran. Inna Allah kana latifan khabira. So these are seven advices that are given to the woman folk. Firstly, to the azwaj of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and thereafter by extension to every single believing female, believing woman. There is those who will make the objection that this is restricted to the Azwaj-e-Mutahharat, it does not apply to every other woman. Here Allah is addressing Ya Nisa and Nabi, O wives of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A few pages later, the command then comes, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu qul li azwajika wa banatika wa nisa'il mu'minin, regarding hijab and jilbab and concealing themselves, that O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, say to your spouses and to your daughters, and to all the believing women, يُدْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِنْ, that they should don their jalabib, their jilbab, their hijab, they should conceal and cover themselves. One alim had mentioned that that woman who chooses not to accept this, or she feels that this command does not apply to me, then remember Allah has mentioned three groups. Say to your wives, the wives of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, say to your daughters, and say to the believing woman. So if a woman feels that this does not apply to me, then by extension she is claiming that she is not part of these three groups. In other words, she does not belong to the group of believing women. One is our own weakness and our own deficiency that we cannot fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as long as we accept and understand that this is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we mentioned before also that in every command of Allah there is wisdom. There is hikmah that we can never understand. So these are the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, a very interesting incident has been mentioned regarding a sahabi, a unique sahabi by the name of Julaybib radiallahu anhu. It is mentioned regarding him, Julaybib, we just did the word Jilbab or Jalabib. Julaybib is the diminutive form or the smaller form of the word Jilbab. Jilbab means a cloak or a covering. Julaybib would refer to a very small cloak or shawl. And he was called Julaybib because of his stature. He was very short in appearance. Together with this, the riwayat mentioned he was damim. He was not very, his appearance was not very pleasing. So he was a sahabi who was not blessed with physical beauty, with physical, as far as his appearance was concerned. Nevertheless, on one occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had mentioned to an Ansari sahabi that, "I wish to send a proposal for your daughter." So this sahabi replies, "By all means, O Nabi of Allah, how can we ever refuse you?" So he says, "This proposal is not for me, but it is for one of my companions." So he says, "Who is this person?" Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, "It is for Julaybib. I want to propose on his behalf for your daughter." So this sahabi is completely shocked. He doesn't know what to say. So he says, "Let me make mashwara, let me ask her mother." And this is how generally a person gets out of a difficult situation, is that I will ask the government at home. I will find out from them what do I need to do. So he goes back, he puts this matter to his wife, and he says, "Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has sent a proposal for our daughter." She says, "Definitely, Nabi of Allah." He says, "Hold on, it is not for him, but it is for Julaybib." She says, "Never. There is no way we can get our daughter married to him. So many potential suitors had come, and we turned all of them down. This woman also, this girl, was very beautiful in appearance, very high lineage. Julaybib, on the other hand, his lineage and nasab was not even known, which was a major flaw as far as the Arabs were concerned. Nevertheless, this conversation is taking place between the mother and father. This young girl hears the conversation of her parents, so she comes out and she says that, "How dare you refuse the suggestion of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? If this is his suggestion and the proposal he has sent forth, then there will be khair and barakat in it. And therefore go back to him and say that, yes, we will accept this proposal." When she says this, the narrator mentions, as though she awakens something in the mind of her mother and father. And they say, "Definitely you have spoken the truth." They go back and they say, "O Nabi of Allah, we will accept the proposal on behalf of Julaybib." The nikah then takes place. A few years later, or some time later, one of the battles that had taken place, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked the sahaba, after the battle had died down, that, "Is there anybody missing? Anybody that perhaps has passed away?" So they say, "There's nobody. We can't seem to, everybody is accounted for." Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, "There is one person that I don't see, and that is Julaybib. Let's go and search for him." So when they go onto the battlefield, they find his body, and around him were seven of the enemy who he had very bravely fought and killed. And thereafter he was martyred and made shaheed. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself lifts the body of Julaybib radiallahu anhu and carries the body on his shoulder. It is mentioned nobody else assisted him. He was the only person solely, individually carrying the body of the sahabi, and thereafter placing him into the grave. It is then mentioned that this particular woman, this widow, was the most wealthy of all the widows in Madinah Munawwara. Such riches and wealth Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed her with, on account of her submission before the suggestion of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So this verse was then revealed, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ. It is not appropriate, it is not correct for a believing male nor a believing female. إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا. when Allah and His Rasul make a decision, that they now say that we want a choice, or we want to go against this decision. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, that person who disobeys Allah and His Rasul, فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا, then definitely this person will be completely astray and misguided. So this was the incident of Julaybib radiallahu anhu. And very quickly, one more incident regarding the nikah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to Zainab bint Jahsh radiallahu anha. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we know, had an adopted son by the name of Zaid bin Haritha radiallahu anhu. Nabi alayhi salam had looked after him from a young age, and he would reside in the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then got him married to Zainab bint Jahsh. So Zaid bin Haritha, the adopted son of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, was married to Zainab bint Jahsh radiallahu anha. And after some time, they began to have some issues in their marriage. Zaid bin Haritha would come to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for advice, for counsel. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would tell him, أَمْسِكْ عَلَيْكَ زَوْجَكْ, that keep her in your nikah. وَاتَّقِ اللَّهِ, be conscious of Allah, have taqwa. And here Allah says, وَتُخْفِي فِي نَفْسِكْ مَ اللَّهُ مُبْدِي, that when Nabi alayhi salam would be giving this advice, then he was actually concealing something within himself. And Mufassirin explained what was this, that he was already informed through divine revelation that he would one day be the husband of Zainab bint Jahsh. So he knew that this nikah between Zaid bin Haritha and Zainab bint Jahsh was not going to last, but this was amanat. He came to him for advice, and therefore he gave him the best advice, which was work through your differences as far as possible and remain in the nikah. But however, as time passed, the differences were irreconcilable, and a talaq, a divorce took place. And thereafter, the command comes from the heavens that, O Nabi of Allah, we have performed your nikah to Zainab. And that is why Zainab bint Jahsh radiallahu anha thereafter would boast, and she would tell the other Azwaj Mutahharat, Zawwajakunna ahalikunna, it was your guardians, your family members that performed your nikah, whereas my Allah performed my nikah, فوق سبع سماوات, my nikah was performed in the heavens by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aisha radiallahu anha mentions that if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had to be accused of concealing any verse of Quran, of not being, of not disclosing and mentioning to the Sahaba every single verse of revelation, then it would have been this verse that he would have concealed. Because outwardly it shows the dilemma that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was in, that now he is going to marry Zainab bint Jahsh. What will people say that you have married the wife of your adopted son, and how can you do something like this, and perhaps you were the cause of the nikah breaking? But this was done to teach us that if a person has an adopted child, then although he will look after that child, he will treat him with fairness, with justice, but this child will never be his real child, and therefore the wife of that particular child will not be his daughter-in-law, and he is then permitted to make nikah and to marry her. Like that, there are various different lessons, because we are doing two juz a day now in the last 10 nights. It is almost impossible to do justice to what comes here. Last night we commenced with Surah Yasin, and thereafter we completed Surah Yasin. Just two virtues of Surah Yasin, and then we'll conclude. The hadith of Maqil bin Yasar radiallahu anhu, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had mentioned, that person who has his gaze on the akhirah, his desire is the akhirah, and he then reads Surah Yasin, then Allah will forgive all of his sins. We can imagine what a bargain this is, my dear brothers. In the morning, many of us, even those who are non-huffaz, know to an extent Surah Yasin. As we are driving for Fajr, back home after Fajr, or we're going to work, we can have Surah Yasin, recite it. It will take 5 or 10 minutes at most. But what a great bargain that Allah is prepared to forgive all of our sins. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he mentions that if a person will read Surah Yasin in the evening, having iman and belief in Allah, then all his tasks and duties that he has for that night, Allah will take care of it. And if he reads it in the morning, in the same condition, then all of his responsibilities and obligations for the day, Allah will take care of it. We know how much of obligations each and every one of us have, as far as our children are concerned, our families, our businesses, in our personal lives. It seems as though the list is never ending, that we have this to do, and that to do, and that to do. Just by virtue of reading Surah Yasin with concentration, with sincerity, with iman, with belief in Allah, Allah is saying, I will take care of your work. In this world, if I have to depute some task to somebody, who is a trusted associate of mine, how relieved I feel that he says, don't worry, I'll take care of it for you. He just has to say, I'll take care of it for you, and already a burden has been lifted off my shoulders. But yet we know he can still make a mistake. He might not do it as I want him to do it. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I will take care of it for you. All your duties, all your responsibilities, just take out 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes in the evening, read Surah Yasin with muhabbat, with love, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make this promise and will fulfill this promise for us. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.